Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hi, Susie. Hi, groomers. Hey, it's Mother's Day, and I don't care.
So funny. Oh, my God. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Mother's Day. The episode is 164. This is the Groom Pod, if you don't know that already, on May 13th, 2018. And we're recording from Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week's episode is sponsored by Stazco Products. Hey, Barbara, have you seen the cool Stazco Products Facebook page that they put up?
Yes, I'm a member there, but I haven't been able to participate. No time, but it's nice. It's nice page.
Yeah, I wanted to share that with the group because if you've got any stories about John from your past, they would love to hear him because it makes him feel really good. And I love that. I love helping out guys in the industry like him, and his products are great. I was using the conditioner yesterday. Anyway, that's the sponsor for this episode. And you can find them online and at our favorite distributors like Ryan's Pet Supply. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to give pro tips for puppy grooming because I've got two puppies later this afternoon. Our definition du jour is cruelty-free. And we're going to talk about Chrome versus Results Rinse. You can be part of our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. There we go. Subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Stitcher is apparently sometimes a little finicky, just a heads up. Find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner, donation button, and Patreon button, and a link to all the archives at www.thegroompod.com. Share us with all your grooming buddies and support our sponsors, Best Shot, South Park, Evolution, Stazco, and Show Season. Did I just say that? Did
you hear that?
We're going to welcome Show Season onto the bandwagon. So anyway, that's it.
What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma.
What's new with you this week, Barbara? I hear we have a dog barking in the background.
That's little Marco. He's celebrating Mother's Day. and the only way he knows how to celebrate, which is to bark. And Leah's motto is, I'm yappy because I'm happy.
I like it. She is a happy dog.
She is a happy dog. She would be, if she were doing agility, she would be one of these little dogs that zips through the agility course, yipping and yapping the whole time.
I love those dogs.
That would be her. I know that would be her because she just gets delighted and can't keep her mouth shut.
I know what that's like.
Anyway, I had a couple of new things to talk about today. One is I have a new brush that I love.
And, look at that.
And it's going to be hard. It may be hard to find because it's very new on the market. So this is another one of these plastic bristled, it's called poly bristle, plastic bristle ball tip pin brushes made for human hair, also known, this is a vented brush.
You guys, it's got holes in the back of it behind where the pins are, like solid handle.
But it has a very firm handle. And the other ones that I've seen were not as firm. And it has firm pins. They're flexible pins, but they're quite firm. And it has the soft touch plastic coating on the whole brush, but it makes the handle very user-friendly. It's a great shape for your hand. It's good for dog hair, and I am loving this brush. And this is a Swissco.
Swissco? I've never even heard of them.
They're the other company. So we have the Wet Brush, which was the first company. And I have a wet brush and it has finer plastic pins in a pad that are ball tip. And this is also a good fine coat dog hair, like for my Maltese. This is a good brush, but it's not going to hold up to brush out a golden doodle, right?
Okay.
But this new brush is going to hold up to do a golden doodle. I think it's going to be on a par with the 16 millimeter T brush that I sold for years. But listen, this brush was $5.
$5?
$5.
It looks like it's a great size.
It is a great size. I just spotted it. You know, like I like to cruise the Target beauty section just to see what I can see and to see if I can find anything that I think might be applicable for my work. And I just gravitated right to this thing. And the thing of it is, it's got such a sturdy frame that it'll take a little, it'll brush out a bearded collie. I'm almost sure of it. And in fact, Monday, we have this wild 8-month-old bearded collie puppy.
How fun for you.
Oh, yeah. We've got 3 people meeting down there on an off day, Monday, to do this. This dog belongs to one of my best customers who brings his other bearded collie in every 2 weeks. So we got to accommodate him. He's finally asking me to groom the puppy. The puppy is wild off the scale. I will report about, I will report this. There will be pictures and narrative next week. But I wanted to tell you about this Swiss coat. And where I found it was at Target. And now my Target search tells me that there are none of these brushes available within 100 miles of me.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing that.
Well, I think they're just flying off the shelf. This is not to say that it might not be at your Target. It is not on Amazon yet, although there are some other Swissco brushes that are on Amazon, but they tend to be a little bit more pricey.
So this brush, once again, the tines go right into the plastic. There's no pad. And then there's an opening behind where the pins. It's vented.
So this is called a vented soft touch, Swissco vented soft touch brush.
Okay, this is very timely for me. It brings up a question, which I have been headed to the dollar store to grab a brush for days now, and I just haven't gotten in there, so this is perfect for me. I need a brush to use when I'm drawing the dogs, especially the puppies, with my handheld Andis blow dryer. You know, that little one that looks like a human blow dryer?
Yeah.
I need something to move the hair around so that I can get it drier. Right. And I've been using my wooden pin brush from Chris Christensen. It seems a little harsh. The other brush I have is one that came from Super Zoo. I think we got it. The Bass Brush people. I have one of those. That one's really fallen apart. That was a cheap brush that's falling apart. So I need to replace with something maybe kind of like that. What do you think about getting that kind of brush for this?
If you want something that's a little bit softer, I would get the wet brush.
That's huge, though. I need it small, too.
Well,
see the difference in the size of the head? I've got to get under, you know, in around little pretty tiny dog legs with this. Because that's
okay. So I am going to look for you. I am personally going to search for a Susie brush, and there may be 2, because you may need a firm one and then a more flexible one for the puppies or the finer coated dogs like Yorkies. You know, this all comes about as a result of my more current reading and learning about damage to the hair from grooming. And I've never been totally comfortable that we're using these metal tools, which actually add static electricity into the coat, and especially our slicker brushes are so brutal.
What about using an old-fashioned bristle hairbrush for drying a dog?
Bristles, according to my hair experts, and these are science-based things, bristles are the worst.
Okay.
Because they are the finest tines, the finest little pinprick tines, and they can actually scrape and nick the hair almost as bad as the slickers. The place for natural bristles is a short brush for short-haired dogs to polish and kind of de-shed a shorter-haired dog.
My wooden pin brush is a smaller Chris Christensen size. I'm looking for something that size. That would be perfect. You know, that just like, I don't know, what is that, 5 inches, maybe?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Well, these come in mini versions. We'll see. It might be too small, but no,
Mini's good.
Mini is good. I'm going to do some searching for you. Now, the other thing that I did, Susie?
Yes?
Lighting for my table.
Oh, that makes so much difference.
You will remember that I am grooming in a rather dim, dark spot in my shop.
Especially compared to my grooming table, which is lit up like a surgery suite in the trailer.
Oh, I'm telling you, I get so exasperated about lighting in my shop. And then just when I had some better lighting around my table, the fire department comes in and made me disconnect a bunch of them because they weren't directly into an outlet. And they just put me in the dark. And so I have, remember I met a new customer that was a photographer?
Yeah.
So I talked to this photographer about the lighting strips that are out there now with what are those little teeny lights called? LED lighting strips. And he said, that's what all the photographers are using. Now, it's great lighting options. And I found a couple of them. I found one that's about 8 inches long, and it has a plastic hook that folds into the back of it. And that hook fits right on my upper ring of my lip system.
Excellent.
And then I turn it on, and I'm going to get, what I've been doing is moving it back and forth from side to side. Well, I just ordered another one so that I could have those on both ends of my table. And it's just making such a difference. Oh my God. I groomed my black and brown miniature poodles the other day, and I had such better results because I really could see that coat better. And those were $10 each, you know, and I also got the larger Bell and Howell LED strip that's kind of the most advertised, and it has a little stand that you can stand up. But what I'm going to do is get some small flexible bungee cords so I can kind of bungee it to the top of my lips there somehow or other. Anyway, the LED portable strip lighting is great to improve the lighting around your table.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Cool. I have changed out my shop lights. I've got 4 shop lights. I've changed them out to LED shop lights, and I love them. They're so much brighter. They're so much better. The light is such a good quality. I was so happy. First, I did 2, and I hate changing stuff out that really isn't broken. But when I saw the difference it made with the 2 lights I had in the back, and quite frankly, trying to find fluorescent lights that are the same color when you have one of two lights go out, you're like, what was it? Was it cool blue or was it warm pink? Was it natural lighting or was it bright white? I think I went with bright white, but I don't remember for sure. And then you get it back and it's pink. And you're like, shit, that is not what I wanted. So these LEDs take all the guesswork out. I love them. They have adapters. They fit right in the shop lights, or you can buy an LED shop light at Costco. Those little hang up ones, you've got the longer strip. Well, they have one that's free from Harbor Freight. It's a little one it's got like six lights, but it's small. It's like that big. And you could hang one of those low if you really needed some emergency light. That's a great tip.
Yeah.
And they're free. I forgot that part.
So the $9 8-inch strip, it uses four AA batteries. So what I got today, now that I know I'm really going to use it, I got a rechargeable system for four AA batteries, so I'll be able to do that. The Bell & Howell larger strip, it's rechargeable.
Oh, that's nice.
It itself is rechargeable, and that's real nice. So it's, it's time to, move into the 21st century with our lighting, and these portable lights are so convenient and so handy to use if you don't have good lighting in your grooming area.
Certainly a great pro tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, I had absolutely nothing to say this week, so other than I wish I had more hours in the day. I ran out of hours to do stuff. The podcast has been late 2 weeks in a row. I apologize for that. I realize it's not like you guys are putting pressure on me. It's just that I feel like it's part of my job. It's a job. I look at it as a job, and it's supposed to come out Thursday, or Friday morning. I'm supposed to finish it up and post it Thursday night, and there just hasn't been enough hours in the day to do it. I find, and you may find this in this podcast, occasionally I fall asleep while editing and a little chunk of time goes by unedited. So if all of a sudden you go, wow, there's a few ums and uhs in there and then they disappear, you'll know that was a little space of time where I must have fallen asleep. These things happen. So we have a new Patreon person.
Oh, good.
Yep. Katie Morrison. Thank you, Katie. She's our newest Patreon subscriber that we have no name for. Nobody's suggesting a name. I think I'm going to put up a post that says, you guys, what should we call our Patreon subscriber friends? Because we need a name for them. I feel silly not having a special name for those people. They are so fantastic. They give us a little money every month. You guys can do it too. If you want to tip your groomers, go to the Patreon website and sign up for the Groom Pods Patreon account. And then you can put like a dollar a month, and just show a little love to us for all the hours of work we put in and the falling asleep during editing.
Are $5 a month.
Okay. I know.
Why do you start so low? See, this reminds me of when I was in private practice doing feminist counseling for women. Okay, so we were empowering women, and we were doing, and we didn't even call it counseling. We called it personal consultation or whatever, something to get away from that sort of you need fixing kind of
thank you
old-fashioned mode. So therapy implies you need fixing, empowerment just means you need to get your shit together. So or something, but we decided that we would have the clients determine their minimum fee.
How'd that go?
We went broke.
Oh, dear. We've done it here in the sandwich shop.
Because these women would come in and they had no bank account. Their husband controlled everything or for whatever reason, or just because they're women with poor self-concepts, they would say, oh, all I can afford is $2. So you would sit there, give them an hour of counseling for your $2. No. We went belly up.
I'm a down rounder. I have a tendency to be a down rounder as opposed to an up rounder. Say I'm doing 8 8 dogs and 2 nail trims. Well, that becomes 8 dogs and not 8 dogs and 2 nail trims, where somebody else might become 9 dogs or 10 dogs because there's 2 nail trims. See, I'm a down rounder. So as a result, I'm low ball.
I always aim high. I've just gotten courage.
Maybe by the time I get to be a little older, I'll get to that. But at this point, I still have very low self-esteem. But it makes for better comedy. So, you know, it's all right. I wanted to mention again that you guys, if you'd like to get a t-shirt, we have t-shirts for sale. They're on the website. They're actually on the pinned website right below the webinar, the Pseudomonas aeruginosa webinar that's available for free for everyone. Mandatory watching for you guys if you're running your own shop. That's it. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15:1 for deep cleaning, 50:1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
I am so excited because this afternoon I'm going to groom 2 Bichon puppies. 2! Not just one, but 2! 2 Bichon puppies. I'm excited. I'll be thinking about you the whole time. But I was wondering if you could give me some tips for really setting these puppies on a great start for their grooming for the rest of their life.
Yeah, it's really important that it not be too stressful on them. And, you know, how old are they?
I'm not even sure. I know one of them I've groomed once and was probably 6 months old now. The other one just came up from the breeder. So I didn't find out if it was just coming from the breeder 16 weeks or just coming from the breeder at 5 months or what. So it's a little undetermined. All I know is his name is Ozzy and he's a madman.
He's a madman? They tell you that?
Yes, he's crazy. No. Absolutely crazy. So I'm excited.
Okay. Well, good. You want to do a thorough job, but you also want to recognize the limits of a puppy. And when you have a puppy with a lot of coat like that, really important that it not be a lot of pulling and tugging and stress. So you want to, you know, you want to use your more gentle tools. You want to use your lighter hand, but you want to be firm in your setting the parameters. This is what we're doing, you know.
Do you ever do like a pre-grooming cookie visit?
Yeah, I have a pre-grooming. I have it even in my list of services. It's a get acquainted grooming. And we may or may not do a whole wet bath because once you wet bathe, you got to dry, you know. So sometimes it's easier to use a grooming spray and just spray and brush out the coat and do the pads of the feet, but not first.
Right.
Don't do things on puppies' feet first because it's too confrontational for them. You know,
same with the face.
Same with the face. Yeah. Start with the shoulder. I kind of work on the body first. And now when I've got an adult trained dog, I'd start, you know, if I'm going to brush the dog out, I start with the left rear leg and go up and then all the body and then the right leg's up. But when I'm doing a puppy, I just do all the easy stuff first, the body work, you know, and I spritz the body and I brush it up and then do the face and feet last.
Because of the unpredictability of the puppies and how successful the groom is going to end up, like how much you can do, I actually do most of the groom before the dog's bath. So I do the FFF.
I do back door, front door.
Yes, I like that too. We're so silly.
So People love it. People love it when I say that. Yeah. Yes, I'll take care of the back door and the front door. And they love that.
Yeah. Can I use that?
Please.
I like it. All right. So then I'm going to put the dog up on the table and I'm going to comb through the dog. Now, the older puppy belongs to this guy's mom, and she is a poodle person, and she brushes the dog every day or combs the dog every day and does a really good job of maintaining. There's never a tangle in any of her dog's coats ever. The son, who has Ozzy the crazy madman, never brushes ever, not once. I've been grooming their dogs. I've groomed 6 dogs for them over the years, and I've only been grooming 20 years. That's a lot of dogs. They always have 2s or 3s. So I've groomed a lot of dogs for them, and he has never done any maintenance in between grooming. So that sets my parameters there, but I can't very well cut the hair on this puppy yet. So I won't. So I'll just do the face, feet, and fanny. I'll look in the ears. If there's something I need to get out of there, if they're really waxy, then I'll clean the ears. But that's another area where I kind of leave that until the second or third grooming, unless there's a medical issue going on in there. What do you feel about that?
I do very little other than cleaning the ears unless there's an issue there. You know, like if it gets really hairy, I cut it. I've got little mustache, little teeny 2-inch mustache scissors that I can cut on the ball tip. I can cut inside the ears. I've got the little mini trimmer things, the little purple gadget. I'm always clear that the purpose of the first couple of visits is to not overdo the puppy's tolerance, is to extend the puppy's tolerance, but not go past the point where they start to become defensive or aggressive or hating it.
Or panic.
Or panicking, or, you know, like, and so the puppy's ability to tolerate the grooming must factor into the result and the expectation. It's horrible to take a new puppy, insist on doing everything to the nth, and then the puppy never wants to be groomed again.
I know that in this case, they paid a lot of money and went out of state for this dog. So I'm just going to hope that it came from a breeder who's been doing all the handling and that the dog's going to come with the face trimmed up a little bit so that I can see that someone has been managing the dog a little bit. I think because he did spend a bunch of money on this puppy. So I'm hoping at least that's taken place. But even on that first visit, I plan on taking my trimmers or my cordless clippers without a blade on it, turning them on and running those clippers all over that puppy's body until it's no big deal to that puppy.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Although there will be no clipping of that dog's anything, probably. Maybe the pads of the feet. Oh, and the butt. Pads of the feet and the butt I'll do. If it's a boy dog, I might take off the nasty little wick off the pee-pee so that they can put the dog in their lap without feeling a wet, gross, peed on string. I know.
It's the wick.
Yeah, the wick. I know. And I know it has a purpose, but it's gross if you pick up a puppy and you put it on your chest and it's got this nasty wet wick. So I might cut that off. That just depends on the dog and the people. So let's talk about going into the bathtub. The bathtub can be a scary place, especially if it's big and metal. So I always use a rack and I'll put a bath mat on top of the rack. A lot of the bathtubs have a short dog spot where you can put a rack on a top level, do a puppy up there. If I have to put the puppy all the way in the bathtub, I'm going to fill the water first and start my recirculator before I ever put the puppy in.
That's a good idea. I do that. Yeah. So that you're not turning on the noise. You're just literally placing them into the moving water.
And if you can get them to take treats all the way along, I will tiny little BB sized pieces of dehydrated liver the whole time they're there. It is what they call a treat party when they come in for the first time. They can, if they go home and hurl, I'll pay for the carpet cleaning, but they want to know that coming in is going to get them cookies and love and fun, and they'll feel better when it's done. And even though somewhere in the middle, they're going to give me that dirty puppy look, like the, what the hell did you just do look? You know, that's
something. Yeah, I know. That cracks me up when they do that.
Right. And then you see them set their jaw and they're like, why did you do that? Then a few minutes later, the treats come out again and the nails are trimmed and you move on. So any special thing we should consider when we're choosing our products for the puppies?
I would use your more gentle products. Of course, it does depend on if they're filthy, but usually they're not filthy. Finer puppy hair, which you're going to lose anyway. The skin isn't thoroughly hardened. I mean, they're kind of tender. So I would probably use a sugar shampoo, a decal glucoside type shampoo base, and sulfate free. I'm not so worried about hypoallergenic and all of that, although you don't really want to load up your puppy with fragrance, you know, like the puppy has to be able to recognize itself. What do you fit?
Okay. All right. I'll go light on the fragrance. Liz.
It just reminds me of the time that I did two Shih Tzus and I was improvising with putting fragrance in the tub, and I turned those two Shih Tzus into air wicks. You know, like they smelled the house up for 2 weeks, she told me.
Oh, that's funny. I know to be extra careful not to get any water around the puppy's face. So I'll do the face like with a washcloth for this.
Well, yeah. And it's a very good time to use the South Bark foaming facial that doesn't have to be rinsed and rinsed and rinsed. It doesn't have to be rinsed at all. So you don't have to worry. You can use it. And if the puppy is kind of head shy about the water, it doesn't matter. You can cut it short and still be safe. And it loosens up any kind of boogies that you have, and it cleans the face gently and thoroughly with the foam that you can just put right on the whiskers. It's good stuff. And that's an excellent application is for puppies.
And if you don't have that one, like I don't really have great access to the South Bark products. I could do a South Bark order separately, but then I'd have to buy a bunch of stuff. So it's tough for me to get that foaming face wash. Although I love the way it smells. It's a great product. Show Seasons also has one. It's called FaceTime, and it's a mango smell. And I love that too. So either one of those two would work great in this case. Absolutely. Best Shot has a dry shampoo as well. I think I wouldn't use that on the face, but if you get in a situation where you don't want to give a wet bath, that's good for the body. So I've got the dog washed now, and it's thoroughly annoyed at me, and it thinks it's going to die, and it's freezing cold. And I take it out of the bathtub. What about the drying process? How can we make this better for the puppies? They're a little bit small for a happy hoodie sometimes, but what can we do?
Well, you can still do it, the small happy hoodie. And, you know, something that I do is I take those wedgie makeup sponges and cut them into pieces and make earplugs out of them.
Oh.
So that's a way to cut down the decibel level. And then when you put the hoodie on top of that, you have much less noise.
I just came up with a brilliant idea because, you know, that's what I do, right? Brilliant ideas are my second name. Not. you remember the basketball wristbands?
Yeah.
Those would be about the perfect size for a puppy. What I don't like about putting the small happy hoodie size is that if it's a Shih Tzu or one of the smaller dogs without a neck, it presses up on their trachea and they're really small and they already have collapsing tracheas to start with. So sometimes I find it's a little bit hard unless I have one that's really worn out, which I don't have a lot of really worn out ones. I'm always afraid of that, but a wristband would fit perfectly on there. And I know just where I can get those. So I might try that and see if that isn't just the perfect size for a puppy. Needless to say, I do want to protect the hearing. I also don't want it to feel like freezing cold air on a warm skin. So when I choose my bath temperature, I'm going to be careful not to get too hot a water. And then when I choose what dryer I'm going to use a dryer that kind of has a little bit of heat, like that handheld dryer that I have from Andis. That's like the human hair dryer. It gets pretty hot, so I'll turn it down to warm about halfway through, and I'll agitate the hair around, but I'll just hold that there. And that way, it is absolutely not a shock when you turn it on. It's a little bit quieter than the HV dryer anyway. So I've found that since you made me put it in my trailer, that I've gotten more use out of that
thing. You've gotten more use out of that thing. See, thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara. The other place I found that stupid handheld dryer to be really helpful, and believe me, I curse every time I throw it on the ground accidentally when I forget to put it away when I'm driving. But the dogs that don't like the blow dryer, that really freak out, the white dogs, light skin in the middle of winter. This is a perfect solution for me for that because it's hot air. So instead of shocking them by blowing really forceful air, it's a gentler CFM and it's a little bit heated, so I can get them warmed up and then I can go to the bigger dryer if I need to. Maybe not at all. If I've got a little dog, maybe I'll just do the whole thing with that handheld dryer. But I need that brush, Barbara. I need the brush.
Yeah. I know. Well, we're going to find you a brush. And, you know, like sometimes with puppies or with head shy dogs, I don't use the brush on the head. I use my hands to kind of open up the hair. And it seems sort of like petting, only I'm actually fluffing the hair and rubbing it out gently and picking it up with my hands, and then they can get a little bit used to something before it's a tool.
I like it.
And you also have the option of settling for 80% dry. Settling is not cheating. Settling is compromising for the sake of the animal in a certain situation, period. Boy, I wanted to tell you about a dog we did this week. I rarely accept walk-in appointments or last-minute appointments. But Saturday, I guess that was yesterday, I had kind of an open morning because a puppy I had expected to come isn't going to come until next month. And I needed money anyway, so I got a text from this guy. I said, can you take my Maltipoo in this morning? And I said, what the heck? Can you make it at 10:30? So he brings the dog in. First of all, the dog is all peach-colored. Somebody had dyed the dog.
Oh.
And so, well, that's a... I like that, but it was obviously growing out, and it was very grown, and it had the softest coat I have ever touched. It was so soft, and he said, she's been having a bunch of mats, and I've been cutting them out, and then I could see where he's been chopping out stuff. He says, I just want it all evened out and everything, and I said, okay, shortcut. Cute face. Yep, that's what I want. So I took the dog from him, no problem, put it in the crate. And 15 minutes later, Yvonne is calling me. Barbara!
Uh-oh.
This dog is going to bite me.
Oh, no.
I can't get it out of the cage. And Yvonne is the dog whisperer. Yvonne is the one that I send into the crate when I can't get the dog out. Well, so I went back there. This dog was terror. I mean, it was head up to the ceiling of the crate, arms waving, growling, snarling, barking. There was no way you could get your hands on that dog. And I had the handy dandy come along pole.
Ah, yes.
Everybody needs a come along pole. Well, maybe not if you're immobile. Because there are dogs that will get in a crate, back up, and absolutely fight you to the death to come out. And you don't want to get bit. And once they're out, they're fine.
Yep. I know many of them.
So I had to pull the dog out, and we got her out, and we got her bathed. And then she was biting and snapping still. she was kind of seriously objecting to the whole thing. But you know what? It took all three of us to kind of groom her, and I got the job done. And the face was so hard because I had to muzzle her, and then we were just like gingerly. I did all around the eyes and everything, and the top of the head with the muzzle on, and I even pulled the chin hair out and cut it off. I did just as much as I possibly could, and then we just gently worked around, and every now and then she would break loose and bite us. But I got a cute little teddy bear sort of Asian face going for her, and it worked out. It was just demanded a lot of patience. I charged extra.
Good.
I turned that off.
It's okay. It's a mild one. It's the choo-choo train that came across last week that blasted me out of my headphones.
That's the text. This was a phone call.
Ah, well, that was delightful.
And that was both my wrist going and my phone going. So anyway, it turns out the guy lives in San Diego, and he just made the six-hour drive because his niece graduated from the U of A on Friday night, and he found me online, and he was just so glad he found me. He was so happy with the grooming. He said, "Barbara, this is the best cut she's ever had." And I said, "Well, probably other people don't have three people they can put on the board."
Probably not.
So
what a nice positive experience, though.
But it was a nice positive experience. And we did all of that without really freaking out the dog. You know, I mean, we never did have a blowout with this dog. We just accepted her behavior, worked with her behavior, protected ourselves, you know, and we got through it.
Excellent. I like that story. I always love to see somebody else dying dogs.
And I hope that he comes back. You know, I tell him, "Well, now you have another reason to come to Tucson."
There you go. Get a better haircut out of the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool. Okay.
Well, I'm sure that he hasn't had a good haircut because of the dog's behavior.
Yes.
And he was saying, "Well, I was thinking that she would like women better." Well, no.
Probably not.
Okay, where are we? Let's go.
I think we're done. I think I'm going to be able to give this puppies a positive grooming experience today with all of your guided tips.
Yeah, be careful not to kiss them in the face a whole lot, because you know what? Puppies and dogs, they can take that as confrontational. They're not necessarily going to take it as well. I know that our gut response is to like smooch them, because they're so cute, but it's kind of a form. It's a rude dominance is what it is. And they may not tell you that, but they may.
Yeah, I don't smooch other people's dogs at all. Never put my face up there unless I'm grooming and they're actually attached.
Yeah, there's some dogs that ask to do that. And
oh, yeah,
do that,
the drive-by licking. You know, as you're grooming, you pick up the foot and you get the... Right as the passage, because your head's down there.
Well, but some dogs lick just to divert you.
Oh,
I've got a doodle. I've got a small doodle that licks as it's a passive aggressive response to get me to stop brushing. Lick, 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 lick. Get that tongue out of my arm, you know?
Oh, my God.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, as usual, we're off on a tangent.
Love it.
Yep. Let's take a break here from South Park Professional Pet Products and go back to school.
Okay.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Park Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Park, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
You study them hard and hoping to pass.
We're in school again, Barbara. My hat has changed over to the school marm hat. Actually, I don't know what hat a school marm would wear, but
yeah, well,
maybe one with flowers.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I don't see you. I don't see you in a hat with flowers, Susie.
Okay. Veterinary vocabulary is carpus. Carpus is your wrist. I brought that up because we talked a little bit about wrists last week. So there you go. Carpus, C-A-R-P-U-S, your wrist. Grooming glossary is the layback. Do you know what the layback is?
Isn't the layback the angle of the, like, the shoulders?
That's exactly what it is. It's the angle of the shoulder blade, another one of those angulation points that I could never get the concept of until way later in my grooming career. I heard it. I saw it drawn. I saw the angles on the screen up at the grooming shows. And I still, when I looked at the dog, I had no idea. Now I get it. I can't correct it, but I get it now. At least I can see it. So I consider that progress, right?
Great. Yeah, I know. No, it took me a long time to get that front angulation. I could see the rear angulation, but it was important in the be shown grooming because I really wasn't showing my layback.
Yes. Well, there you go. Okay, now on to the definition du jour.
Oh boy, that's my turn.
That's your turn.
I ran into this term and some comments about it on the shampoos in the grooming industry Facebook page, and the term is cruelty free.
Oh, I see that all the time.
So what the heck is cruelty-free?
I just assumed it meant that, like, maybe testing or something. I don't know.
So, yeah. So, you know, like, actually, Dave Campanella, Best Shot, identified this as malignant misinformation.
Uh-oh.
He used my term, Susie.
Oh,
I was so proud. You know, because it implies that others are not cruelty-free. And it's misinformation in the way that no completed products are tested on animals. But almost all ingredients are tested on animals. Have been, maybe it was in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. There's toxicology tests that have been made to determine the safety of cosmetic ingredients that have been mice, rat, little animal studies. Thousands of little animals have died in order to determine that sodium lauryl sulfate is not cancerous.
Right. No reason to retest it.
But the truth is, nobody's completed product has been tested on animals. There's just not testing protocol. There's just not testing laboratories that do that. There is no testing universe for complete products.
Other than the testing universe that we create by using them every day.
It's not testing. It's not gathering any information. It's not comparing. It's not toxicology. You know, the problem with toxicology is that they always want to determine the LD50.
What's that?
That's the amount of the substance it takes to kill 50% of the sample.
Oh. Well, that means they've got to kill 50% of the sample.
Well, and then they kill the rest of them to do autopsies.
Oh, that's just creepy. You know, last time we talked about this, we both cried. So get ready, guys. Get your tissues.
But here's the point. The point is, it's a non-issue. It's an unreal claim. It's an unfactual claim. You know, like, they can't say that nothing in that product has ever been tested on animals, because they still have not been able to substitute computer tests for every valuable test of substances, okay?
But it's a true statement. Show Season does not test their product on an animal, not in a scientific manner.
Neither does anybody else.
So saying that they do is nothing.
See, the implication is we don't, but others do. Why would you want to say, hey, we don't do this? Because you want to distinguish yourself from the others.
Throw a little shade.
Yeah, the implication is that others might be doing animal testing.
But in reality, none of the companies are. It's just
none.
Like the scientists.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's kind of silly. So they're getting another one over on us half the time, because the other half the time we catch it.
Yeah, because they're using this as a big old, it's just another natural claim. It's just another psychological ploy to make you comfortable with their product.
It makes me feel like I can't trust any labels. Well, there are labels that are pretty good descriptive labels and don't include all the embellishment. But boy, when you get on the fringe products, some of those fringe products really have a lot of embellished descriptions in their label.
I know. Organic, safe, natural.
Cruelty-free.
Cruelty-free.
No animal testing.
Completely biodegradable.
Yes. All of these things are just to catch us. And they do.
And they do. You know.
Otherwise, they wouldn't put them on the label.
But David's right. It's malignant misinformation. It's inaccurate, incomplete information that's used to make the other products look bad.
Well, there you go. So don't believe it, folks. Well, believe it, but Barbara just dropped the comb.
She did
the comb drop.
Only in this case, it was a paperclip drop.
It looked like a comb, and then she walked away, and later she laid her headphones down and walked away. No, she didn't. Okay, let's hear from Evolution and quite possibly Amazon, and then we'll be back with our at the table question, which is about the difference between chrome and results rinse. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. All right, Barbara, I've got a Facebook question for you, and it is from Groomer Sarah. Groomer Sarah is a personal friend of mine who has a blue-headed pionis. I think she has a blue-headed pionis. I know she has a pionis, so.
That would be a bird.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. A parrot. She has a parrot, and so I feel very close to her. So Groomer Sarah asks, show season, chrome coat versus results rinse. She said she wants to know, like, when do you use which one? How are they different? What coats do you use them on? And that kind of thing. So give us a primer on results rinse versus chrome coat.
The difference is that chrome coat is a conditioner and results rinse is an acidifier. So results rinse is a very minimalistic rinse that does simply two things. It closes and firms the hair cuticle, and it makes a fine, fine coating of protective dimethicone on the hair.
A teeny bit of conditioning, right? Just a teeny bit.
Just enough to seal. So it's closing and sealing the hair cuticle. It has no humectants or moisturizers other than what you would call a dimethicone, and dimethicone is known to be an excellent sealer for hair, and it also the acidifying action is antimicrobial. It really helps make the skin less conducive to bacterial infection or just presence of bacteria, which makes it a good deodorizer, because a lot of bad smelling skin is highly alkaline and bacteria stinks. Even before it produces an infection, it produces an odor.
So okay. So you can counteract that a little bit by the acidifying nature.
So you can, yes, you can. And, so what the ingredients are of the results rinse are water, polysorbate 80, which is an emulsifier, non-oxynol 9, which is a non-ionic mild surfactant, citric acid, dimethicone, some preservative and fragrance. The pH is 3.5, which is just about what vinegar is.
Okay.
So then the chrome coat is a conditioner with an additional optical brightener in it. Okay. So it was designed to leave the coat really bright and shiny, and it contains water, cetyl alcohol, sterile alcohol, sterile conium chloride, polyquaternium 10, cetrimonium chloride, a great anti-static ingredient, optical brightener, jojoba oil, amodimethicone, fragrance preservative, and sunflower oil triglycerides. So that's a much more full list for a conditioner, right? So So Chrome Coat is a light, it's not a real heavy conditioner. It's a light conditioner with some extra optics in it. So when would you use the two? That's the crux of the question here. Well, you would use the results rinse any place where you don't, where you want a minimal softening of the texture of the hair. You want the most crispness of the hair. You want to preserve the crispness like in a terrier or even like a Bichon or poodle coat that you're going to be scissoring. You don't want it to be soft and fall and make it hard to scissor, or even sometimes we over condition Shih Tzu coat and you can't get the comb attachment to work well through it. And or when we want to acidify the skin, like it's excellent for old dog funky skin,
schnauzers.
We use results rinse a lot instead of a conditioner because we just want to protect the coat and make sure that we have got the least porosity. So we're not going to lose moisture or gain moisture in the coat. We just want to shut it, seal it, groom it, right?
Yeah. For you and I, we throw a little bit, just like an ounce or something like that in our recirculator.
Yeah, what one or two ounces.
What if you don't have a recirculator?
You can put it in a spray bottle, spray it through the coat, and then rinse it.
It's a rinse. You have to rinse
it. Yeah, you. That's why it's called results rinse.
Okay. Yeah, it's not something you want to leave on generally.
You really don't want to leave on that, but you want to rinse it and you want to leave it on a couple of minutes so it has time to adjust the pH of your animal. You know, it's also very good for cat fur. So if you've got a long-haired, a Persian, a long-haired cat and you're grooming it and you want the maximum fluffiness of the coat, boy, Results Rinse is really good. It has a clarifying action that so it removes residue that might have remained after shampooing or in the cat, you're always fighting kind of excess sebum. And so I just love to use the results rinse on felines. I think it just gives the most beautiful effect. And that would be like an unmatted coat. So the Chrome Coat is great for conditioning where you kind of want the maximum visual impact. It's going to make all colors sort of pop. It's got the dimethicone in it, which is going to help you detangle. The amodimethicone is one of the modified forms of silicones that don't build up as much. It's got the anti-static ingredient, the cetrimonium chloride, that helps combability. So the Chrome Coat is going to help you comb the dog's hair out more if it's matted or tangled. It's going to be more like a full-on conditioner without a lot of moisturizers. It's got some, but it's mostly created to give maximum shine and visual impact. So really, the dogs really look super white.
Okay, so are you going to, well, once again, the only way I've ever used it is putting a capful or so into my recirculator, you know, and then running it through. But do you put that in a spray bottle?
Yeah, you could. You could put it in a spray bottle or you could mix it in a gallon jug you know, like a half an ounce per gallon. You have to experiment with these products. Don't just use how much we say. Only you can determine what is just the right amount for you to use and when it's too much. You know, you have to learn yourself, because if I tell you don't mix it 5-1, there may be an instance when 5-1 would be a great dilution rate.
Right. And we're just providing guidance here. We're not telling you anything but our opinions. You're just listening into our chatter. That's all it is.
And by the way, the pH of the chrome coat is 5.5 to 6.0. Okay, so it's significant.
Closer to neutral.
It's closer to neutral, but it is slightly acidic. Almost all good conditioners are slightly acidic. They can market to you the balanced pH of the shampoos all they want, but when you've got a conditioner, in order for that conditioner to condition, it's probably got to be slightly acidic, or the ingredients don't function well. So, you know, that's the truth.
Okay, well, Barbara says it's the truth, and it's the truth. We're done. We're done. Drop that comb, because we are out of here. I've got some puppies to play with. All right, Barbara. Hey, have a good week, all right?
All right. You too. Yes, I can't wait to see you again. Yes. I'm going to be looking for your brush.
Yeah, and I'm going to be working on that dang video. If you want a t-shirt, contact me on the Facebook page. Support our sponsors. Thanks for sharing us. I think that's it. Yeah, I think I covered everything. Thanks for listening. Happy grooming, guys. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Take care of yourselves. Don't overdo it.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
All right. You can find our discussion on Facebook at the Facebook discussion page. Let me do that all over again. You can be part of our discussion by finding us on Facebook at Facebook.com/God, it's going to be one of those days.
Just go to Facebook and put in The Groom Pod, and it'll come up, discussion group, and you hit on that, and you're there.
Oh, my God.